12 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. And a warm welcome to my co-host, Maulana Ibrahim Daya. Maulana Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
And alhamdulillah, we have Brother Idris Khamisa on the line with us from Durban. Idris Bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's unbelievable how quickly the Thursdays come, right?
Before I could
pine for both of you, you're back on the line. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Shukri Idris Bhai, how are you feeling?
I'm wonderful. I went for a nice jog this morning at the beachfront, you know, and looking very muscular and whatnot. People think, you know, I'm a bodybuilder, you know, and meeting, alhamdulillah, people, and really nice. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Mashallah, great to see you. You're doing well, Idris Bhai, and I'm sure your weight is also coming down.
In fact, just for your information, I think I lost about 7 to 8 kilograms already.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You know, I see on our Radio Islam's newsletter this morning, Mullah Bukhari put a very interesting story. Can I read it out to you?
Yeah, please do that.
Says that a lady noticed her husband standing on the bathroom scale. Yeah. And while he's on the scale, he's very sucking in his stomach. You know, people do that to make themselves look a bit slim and trim. So he was on the scale.
Writing about me.
maybe he got it from you. Huh? So he was sucking in his stomach. And so she thought he was trying to lose or trying to weigh less with this maneuver of his. So she said, I don't think that's going to help. So her husband said, sure it does. It's the only way I can see the numbers.
Hey, fortunately, Maulana, I'm not that stage yet.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
You know, I have a mirror there, reflection, so I can see. Alhamdulillah.
No, alhamdulillah. You know, there's so many people who are into fitness and weight loss and getting thin. You know, just this morning I saw an Instagram post of a cousin of mine. I don't know if I mistake his name on air, but he's really lost weight. He was quite, you know, as we say in our terminology, he was quite mashallah. and now he's gone thin. The other day he posted, he said, I was wearing a size 42 trouser to work, and now I'm wearing a size 28 trouser.
Can you believe that?
Look at that, Idris Bhai.
I hope it was a deliberate effort to get thin, and his wife was not denying him of food at home, you know.
No. Alhamdulillah, I think he was really making effort to lose weight and running and cycling and doing a whole lot of different fitness things. And I think there's many people that are into fitness. Fitness is the new fashion, and you have to be fit, trim, slim, good looking, and it's all about looking good nowadays.
You know, absolutely. You know, it reminds me of the story, you know, that this chap wanted to marry this girl. He said, for you, I'll swim the deepest seas, I'll climb the highest mountain, I'll go up in the skies for you, and whatnot. She was so convinced she got married to him, you know. After a good few months, she said she don't like him at all. She said, how come? He's never at home. He's either climbing mountains or swimming, you know.
he's still swimming and climbing mountains to get her. Alhamdulillah, shukri Idris Bhai. You know, I said to you that we're going to speak for the responsibilities of leadership, but maybe we can just touch on this just for a few minutes about wanting to get thin, slim, dieting, you know, looking at your body image. And you know, making an effort to improve your body image. I think it's a good thing. It's an excellent thing to make sure that you look good and you are presentable and you are thin and you are healthy. I think it's an excellent thing. But there's also certain points, obviously, Idris Bhai, in that we need to be wary of and careful of.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the whole thing is, I think there could not be a better or more eloquent example. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he led the most balanced life ever. And the whole issue was in terms of his eating habits, in terms of his fitness, in terms of a whole range of things. You know, alhamdulillah. And it's important that you look after yourself, because in the end, when you look after yourself physically, you also feel good emotionally and spiritually, and you're able to read your salah, stand up the way you should, your posture is right, and you also exude a lot of confidence, you know. And you find that, you know, when you pick up weight and when you don't look your good self, it impacts on your self-esteem, it impacts on your relationship dynamics and a whole range of things, because we as human beings, sadly, we are also very, very superficial. It's not only about being thin. It's about being healthy. There are some people, they may be thin, but they're not healthy. The others, you know, so it's very important that we eat the right foods. We eat, and you know, as our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminded us, the food must be both halal and tayyib, you know, the whole idea of organic food. And I can tell you this, you know, now that I've lost you know, I increase, and inshallah, my aim is to lose.
Okay, Rizva, it seems like we're losing you there. You lost weight and you're losing signal also.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you better now.
Yeah, okay, fine. So what I'm saying that, you know what, is we've got to see the balance. You mustn't be so fanatical about it that you neglect the other aspects of your life, you know, that you are so obsessed with physical fitness, you're so obsessed with it that you spend hours training, hours cycling, that you neglect your Islamic responsibilities, that you forego your salah, you neglect your responsibility to your spouse, to your children, towards your parents, towards the ummah and humanity at large. It's about getting that kind of balance. What it really means that you've got to be disciplined, you've got to have a wonderful, you know, a weekly routine where fitness is an integral part of it, you know.
Yes, it is, but you make a very valid point of living a balanced lifestyle. You know, they say you should eat good. If you eat good, you'll normally you'd look good and you'd feel good as well. And many people, it is, but I don't know if I could say this, but you find that some people eat so much, but they just don't pick up weight. So even though they might be thin, they still live in a bit of an unhealthy lifestyle.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I know of people that got small stomachs, but they have voracious appetite. I don't know where the food goes to, you know. And so, and there are others who eat not too much and suddenly they pick up weight. It all depends on your metabolism rate, your constitution, and all, a whole range of things. But an important thing is that, you know, is to exercise, you know, to lead a wholesome life, inshallah, also mentally, because you find that some people, you know, sometimes some people say, my gosh, man, I see you picked up a lot of weight after you married. Oh, you are so happy. Often, you know, some people eat a lot because of depression, you know. It's comfort eating. So we don't know. Some people gain weight, some people lose weight when they are depressed. So I think it's important that we keep a check on it, keep a check on ourselves, and that we lead a life that is energized, is full of activity, and we come home, we don't come home, you know, emaciated, but they're full of energies for the family, inshallah.
Mm. You know, just on this point of fitness and doing it for your image, etc., it can also lead to people becoming depressed, to becoming demotivated, because they're trying so hard and they're not achieving the results that they want to achieve. And so they feel like social outcasts. They don't fit into that image, so they don't fit into that social circle, or they don't fit into that community or society. And we shouldn't feel like that. You know, this fitness or health, whatever effort we're making to improve our health and improve our bodies, is there for our benefit. If we are not achieving that goal, if we're not achieving the same results as our neighbor or friend or the person in our community, then we shouldn't feel depressed about it.
No, absolutely. You know, it's about doing it for yourself, and you make a very, very valid point, you know. We are so concerned about other people's opinions about us. We are so concerned about what they are going to say that in the end, we allow other people to define us. And we lead, you know, other people's lives. We are a shadow of our true selves. Therefore, we are reminded that we look into the spirit and say, Ya Allah, you made me beautiful outside, also make me beautiful inside. And we need to have that kind of approach. And I don't know why people are so concerned by what others say. And therefore, physical agility and physical outlook and, the material thing is only one narrow aspect. I mean, the critical aspect is your taqwa, the critical aspect is your self-esteem, the critical aspect is about who you really are in terms of your akhlaq and your conduct. So this is something that we must understand,
It is by enough of the Malana Day, or did you want to say something in that regard?
Yes, I just wanted to read out a message that has come through. It says that, we should exercise to be fit and not skinny, eat to nourish your body, and then always ignore the doubters or the haters and those that set an unhealthy example that sort of feeds you and then demoralizes you. You should always know your worth and stick firm to your principles.
Oh. That's a very powerful point, because there is a point that one could add, I think many of us allow others to crawl beneath our skin. We are so concerned about appeasing them that, in the end, when they are happy with you, then you are happy. That's not the way of life, And today you have your naysayers, your doubters, you have your harsh critiques, there are people also got hasad and jealousy. You should not allow them to get you down. But if they make an observation that is good for your growth, it's good for your development, there's another matter. You're thankful to Allah and you thank them profusely for it. But you mustn't allow every opinion to affect you. I mean, in the end, it shows you've got low self-esteem. And secondly, one of the important things in life is this, that you are going to regret it when you are in the twilight years of your life, when you say, my gosh, I allowed these doubters to affect me. Why did they sabotage my life? So this is something that we need to be very, very concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that as far as your fitness and image goes, it is by the topic that we actually wanted to speak about today, and we discussed before the program, was the responsibilities of leadership. When it comes to leadership, we know that the greatest example was provided for us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the way that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted himself as a leader, his care and concern for the community. Great statement made by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to leadership, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum, that the leader of a people is the one who serves the people the most. And this statement really plays out over and over again. And then obviously Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us about transparency in leadership, how he taught us about accountability, how he taught us about concern for the community, and then the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam being shown in the examples of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhum, who were the four khalifas. I think you can't get a better leadership example than what could be found in that first generation of Sahaba radiallahu anhum.
Yes, absolutely. That's the point. Nowadays, people use other terminology from the West to other parts of the world. They speak about servant leadership, where you serve. And this is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to serve. He used to, he was the most eloquent example, a person who was not concerned about self-enrichment, self-aggrandizement, not for fame. He didn't want his ego to be massaged. He, because of his taqwa, he wanted to do the right things. Alhamdulillah. So the example that, it's really the best example, alhamdulillah, And this is, and I'm so glad you're speaking about it. In fact, in one of my Twitter messages I sent, that I said, if the world leaders, all of them, with integrity, then you know what would happen? The world would be different. It would be like a utopia. And that's an important thing, that, and it's a position of responsibility, and the position where you are humble, you are thankful, and you think, remember, those who aspire for leadership, there's no barakah in it. When people say they want you to be the leader, they believe in you, that's another matter. But you don't go there, by crooking votes or manipulating people or using your authority. And this is something that we need to understand. And if I were to do a critique, as it were, it saddens me that many people, even in South Africa, you know, they think that they are head of an institution, they are the leader, or they founded an institution, they put the most amount of money, then they own the institution, because in Islam, it's not about ownership, but it is about curatorship, it's about custodianship. So the issue of leadership is a fundamental thing. And the point is this, that all of us are leaders in some way or the other, you know.
Yes, it is. But in this topic that we've chosen, I think there's a very powerful message. It says the responsibility of leaders, that to understand that leadership is not a sort of position that you can now have to be proud about, or some title that you have that I am a leader, but rather this is a responsibility that you have, and then bring that into action. And then a leader also has to then set the example for the others. It's not just about bossing people around, giving them a task. I know a few years, rather last year it was on Radio Islam, we had this focus on what is the difference between a boss and a leader, that a leader will always take responsibility, he'll help and take the team forward, rather than a boss who just sort of shouts out instructions.
Absolutely. You know, a leader, there are people that follow a leader, and they follow a leader who is charismatic, who is inspirational, is worthy to be followed. A person that is endearing, a person that has humility, a person that has a clear vision. A leader is a person that forgives, is a team player. He also does not mind dirtying his hands doing things. He's part of this whole project. But a boss is someone that is, it's about him, and often the word boss is also the bullying element there. The boss is more concerned, about what he can benefit. But a leader, a true leader is a person that is concerned about how others can benefit. And a true leader is a person that makes others that follow him the idea that you want to make them leaders also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now on the topic of responsible leadership or responsibilities of leadership, I remember a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a very famous, very well-known hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi." Every one of you is a shepherd, and every one of you is responsible for his flock. So that responsibility of leadership rests in every single individual. We can not separate from the responsibility of leadership, whether we are leaders of just ourselves, whether we are leaders of two people, or leaders of a family, or leaders of a jamaat, whether we are leaders of at work, who are employers, whether we are leaders in a sports match, whatever else it may be, every one of us are leaders, and we are all responsible and answerable for our flock. So whatever our people do, or those under our charge do, and whatever the terms of leadership are, and what we are leading them in, we are going to be answerable about that one day. And we have to make sure that keeping in mind the extent or the weight of that responsibility, that answerability, we have to make sure that our leadership style and our leadership efforts are up to scratch.
Absolutely. That is so true, because in the end it's an amana, a trust. But also there is another dimension, I hope you got time to speak about this, is that what also saddens me is that you have a leader, then you also have people, blind followers. You have people, followers that are more fanatical than the leader. You find you might have a scholar, he might have his own group or whatever, people that follow him, and whatever the leader says is almost as if it's a divine revelation, because he said it, he must be right, everyone else is wrong. No, that kind of blind fidelity is something that worries me. And you find, if you look at some of the mischief that is taking place everywhere with this and all of these things, when followers, for example, at the behest or the instruction of the leader, would do things that are really, almost criminal. So So I think it's very, very important. If you follow anyone, you know, you don't suspend your judgment. There's no harm in asking questions and saying, you know what, I need some clarity on the issue. You said this over here, where, you know, where is the evidence for this, and so on and so forth. Because I know even in my casual discussions with people, you find people say, no, no, I will never ever do that because he told me that's completely wrong. You know what I'm saying to you? So I think it's very, very important that the Quran demands of us to reflect. You know, naturally we must take guidance, you know, there are people who know. But even those that know do not have the monopoly of knowledge. Even those that know are not infallible. So I think it's very, very important that you must always have humility in what you say and how you do it. And part of that humility is also making sure when you listen to people, you listen to all sides of the story.
Yes, it's just gone now 27 minutes to 12. We need to take a little bit of a break, but the topic that you brought up is very interesting. And the followers, we can ask this question of the listeners, that are you holding your leaders accountable? That's a question that we can ask of you, and you can reply. Maulana Taya, can you give us the SMS number and the WhatsApp number as well, quickly?
Yes, sir. You can contact us on 011-854-1548, or you can WhatsApp us. The number to WhatsApp is 081-437-0565. That is 081-437-0565.
Okay, stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. 23 minutes to 12. Welcome back to Idris Khamisa. Idris, by responsibilities of leadership is the topic that we are speaking about. And the question we asked before the break, how accountable do you as a follower hold your leaders? And how accountable are you as a leader? That is an important question. It is by the point that you brought up of blind following. You know, it happens when people put their trust completely in leaders, and it would happen that because of the status, because of the stature, because of the integrity of an individual, that you feel that there is no need to question that person. There's no need to upset the apple cart by questioning that person. But we must know that this was not the practice of Sahaba radiallahu anhum as well, because as great personalities as they had as leaders, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, as great personalities as they had, they held them accountable, and they would speak out openly, frankly, directly to them when they thought anything that they said was not correct, or when they needed to question them on any particular point.
Yes, you must understand one thing. It's the point, you know. And who are you looking at? Now, these were, I mean, in Islamic history, giants. You know, their level of taqwa, their knowledge, and they were exposed to the beautiful example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what? I always say to people that, you know, in life, you must expose yourself to as many people as possible, learn from as many people as possible. Because, you know, in the end, the bottom line is this, that, you know, I'm not suggesting that our leaders, I'm talking about our scholars, you know, in South Africa, are manipulating people. But if you look at the kind of entrenched divisions that are taking place, and I mean, I hear things about people saying, yeah, you know, if I ever hear that chap again, you know, me, I'll go and kill him. And that kind of stuff you hear, you know, violent reaction. But the point is this, that, you know, any person that is worthy of his leadership should be able to accept criticism, should be able to understand that he is human, that he's capable of making mistakes. He should be able to engage people in discussion. And this is another point, you see. I find that, you know, people personalize it. If someone had to tell someone, I mean, you know, even the time of Hazrat Umar, for example, when people said or ladies said, you know what, I disagree with you. You know, you are wrong. And they accepted that with humility. They're not concerned about the pride, never came into play. And what did they say? I mean, when they prepared the inaugural speeches, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said, as long as I follow Allah and His beloved Rasul, you must follow me. Otherwise, you don't follow me at all. So this is the point. The point is this, that, you know, for example, let's say, Maulana, you like you and I, Alhamdulillah, we get along very, very well. Maulana Daya also, we all get along very well. Now, at a particular meeting, you raise a point, so I say, Maulana, you know what, I disagree with you. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens, there's a chance in many circles that you'll get upset with me. You say, you know what, I thought you my friend. Why did you disagree with me? No, really, because you can't, we get upset and you get agitated and you say, you know, I don't know why you disagreed with me. I mean, why? This is you can only grow if you allow for cross-pollination of ideas. You can only grow when there are robust debates. Very, very important. You know, and this is the point, you grow. And if you think you'll never grow because then you are the most ignorant person of everyone.
You know, it's just like sometimes it happens that between the leaders themselves, between the individuals themselves, they understand the differences. And they are very cordial, they're very respectful to each other, and they take it in their stride. But it is their followers who actually make a big deal out of it. That how can this leader say or disagree with my leader? Or how can this person disagree with my person? And then that's where the trouble starts in. So it's actually the followers, and it comes back to the question of the issue of blind following, that we are not responsible, we are not mature and tolerant in the way that we follow, that we don't allow anybody to disagree with our leader.
Yes, and you know, poor Khalif, right? Alhamdulillah. I mean, they didn't agree on everything, but they were not disagreeable. But they had the respect for each other. They were respectful. And this is an important thing, that we do not respect each other. And what is worse, Maulana, there are others would undermine you in your absence. They would say everything, but when they look at you, they put a smile there, you know, a beautiful smile. You know, Alhamdulillah, you know, they put a beautiful smile. And, you know, for example, Alhamdulillah, you know, may Allah grant Maulana Gardi the highest status in Jannah. And I spent some precious moments with him in my earlier days. And I saw in him, Alhamdulillah, a person with a lot of wisdom. You know, I just thought, you know, before I forget, grant highest status in Jannah. And then may Allah, my neighbor Hashim is not well. May Allah give him shifa. And also I met Farooq Akuji, who was the principal of LMS in the primary school, now moved to Durban at Orient. And I can tell you, he's missing thing, you know. May Allah make it easy. So this is the point about leadership is a very important, it's a huge responsibility. But one thing we, the Ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, must learn to be critical. We must learn to be receptive to criticism. We must not take things personally, and we must not be fanatical. There's no place for fanaticism in Islam, you know. You have a particular point of view, don't be so fanatical. Therefore, you know, may Allah, you know, I love Maulana Yunus Patel because his dua has always been, in whatever form that you are doing your, you know, your dawah, be it with the tabligh, be it in whatever way, you know, may Allah guide you and give you strength, you know. He did not say there's only one way, and this is the way, you know. And I think this is an important thing. That shows a lot of maturity in his leadership. He shows, you know, Alhamdulillah, that he's a person that is true leader, Alhamdulillah.
Yes, you can interact with us on the program. The number to dial is 011-854-1548, or you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Rizpa, I think that's a very critical point that you make. One is leaders, or just in general people, that to accept praise has become very easy. Everyone will take it in their stride, and we feel happy about it. But the moment someone criticizes us or someone disagrees with us, then we sort of push it away and say that that person doesn't know what they're talking about, or we just start attacking that person. So we'll see that the great leaders of the past and great humans or human beings at that point, they were able to accept criticism, and they were able to accept someone disagreeing with their point open-mindedly, and then they would resolve the matter in a dignified manner.
Absolutely. You see, that's the point, you see. If when you do things for Allah, then you'll be receptive to criticism. But if you do it for yourself, for your own ego, then you'll never want to accept any criticism or another point of view. This is it. And you know what? We must be open. We must become avid readers. And you know, we must not look at Islam in a theoretical way, like a ship in a bottle. You know, the Islam is alive. It is real. People are living Islam. They've got the challenges of here. But you cannot come here and condemn people, send people to Jahannam. You say this is the shortest cut to Jahannam. Or that is, you know, Jahiliyyah. This is a Jannat, Jahannam material. This is that and whatnot. You've got to understand a situation, look at it, and make an informed judgment about it. Yes, we're not saying we must flout the Sharia, but what we are saying was make informed decisions. And therefore you find that it's so important that when you are in a position of leadership, do not do it for your ego, do not do it for your self-enrichment, but do it only for Allah.
It is my advice for leaders in particular, when it comes to their responsibilities in terms of making sure that they fulfill the rights of those people who are their followers. What advices would you have? Maybe a step to step or a few points.
Okay, my advice to them is this, that firstly, you've got to understand what is your role responsibility, why you are there, right? Then secondly, that you must not, be shy if you're in doubt to seek advice from other people. Thirdly, and it's very important, always do shura. Get people around you, do shura. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did that. The other aspect is that you must turn to Allah for guidance. The other aspect is this, when people come to you for advice, listen with your heart. Do not listen in a judgmental way. Listen with your heart. You've got to show compassion. The other thing is this, that you must not, as a leader, entertain gossip about another leader. For example, let us say there are two teachers, or maybe two principals of two Darul Ulums, that you go to one Darul Ulum head teacher, principal, and you say, hey, Maulana, you know, I'm teaching there, and that Amir, I don't like the way he does things, and you entertain all of that. And that's wrong, right? I'm not saying it's happening. I say it's not happening. The other very important aspect is, remember, that knowledge will never stop. Knowledge is infinite. You've got to continue to grow. You've got to continue to read. You continue to understand and seek guidance from people. The other aspect is this. You must be open to criticism from the people that you are leading.
Okay, so those are very, very important points that you've made there. Just we're going to take a little bit of a break, inshallah. We'll be back just after that. Stay tuned.
Okay.
Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's 10 to 12. We are speaking about responsibilities of leadership. And Maulana Ibrahim, is there something that you wanted to add?
Yes, it is by just on this topic that we're speaking about leadership and how a leader should go about. One thing that comes to mind is that you'll find that as a leader, you have to set goals for your team or for, if it's in the classroom, then for the students. So in whichever field that you are a leader, but where do you find the balance of you shouldn't be sort of stretching it too much and also it shouldn't be too easy for them, but just understanding all those under you so that you can get the best out of them.
Absolutely. I think it's important that you understand each one and you're able to deal with each one. When our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to the Sahaba, each one felt that you were speaking to them. It's very important to know who you lead, that you're able to motivate, encourage, and, you know, take them by the hand and nurture it. It's very important how you help individuals to grow, to give them faith. And this is something that we need to understand. You know what? Leadership is not about having people that, you know, will just follow you. Sometimes you've got to convince other people. You've got to persuade them. So you must not be narrow in our perspective. And, you know, like, I mean, talking about leadership, like today there's going to be the Concord ruling about in Kanjla. And now, you know, a lot depend on Zuma's leadership, how he deals with that. Yes, of course. It's a political hot potato also. People only get mileage out of it. But the critical aspect is this. If you believe in your judicial system, you've got to accept it, you know. And this is a fundamental thing. I'm not saying the judicial system is a beyond reproach or it's infallible. So I think in the end, the bottom line is this, that you cannot impose leadership on people. And if you realize that you are not, you don't have the capacity to lead, the pressures are too many, then perhaps, you know, you need to step down and give others a chance. And the moment it's about you and you alone, then it can be very, very problematic.
Okay. Rizbay, Jazakumullah khairan for your time today. And inshallah, Aziz, we will speak next week. It's almost the end of our program. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, Mawlana and Daya, both of you, you go well and look after your...
Shushu Babalina.
Aha, I think you need to get Mawlana. Yes.
Mawlana Daya needs to say it as well.
Yeah, Mawlana, say Shushu Babalina.
Shushu Babalina.
Come on, for a little more love.
With a little more love. Shushu Babalina.
Ah, that's so nice. When you can go there, you must say it like this. Oh, my Shushu Babalina. Okay,
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran, Mawlana Daya. And Brother Idris, and shukran to our studio operator, Tufail. Inshallah, we'll be back on Monday morning with Al-Mashriq. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.